Anybody here thankful that the same God we worship week after week is always here week after week? And, you know, there's some things that we can, absolutely be guaranteed of. And this is what brings me hope. I'm going to be kind of like one of those movies today. I'm going to start at the end of the movie so that you might understand the beginning of the movie. Isn't that crazy? I'm going to start at the end of the movie so you might understand what God has done. Lock this word in. Lock this word in. What brings hope? This word brings hope to the world. Emmanuel. Emmanuel. You'll hear it. You'll be shopping away, looking for those bargains, and you will hear, "Come, O come, Emmanuel." You'll hear it in the background. "Come, O come, Emmanuel." I wonder if we really, though, want that to happen. "Come, O come, O come, God be with us." That's what Emmanuel means. God with us. Not God away from us, not God at a distance, but God what? With us. God with us. Now that brings hope to every moment of the world. Is God is with us. How many of y'all glad to know God is with us? Win or lose, God is what? With us. Win or lose. Rich or poor, what? No matter who is on the throne, God is always over the throne. Now, I want to think for a moment. What is the opposite of hope? Okay, despair. What else? What causes despair? Okay, worry. We got worry. How many of y'all ever worried? How many of y'all worried less this Thanksgiving? How many of y'all got rid of some of your worry? All right. Did anybody go camp out Best Buy to get you, you know, some electronic piece that they jacked up $100 and selling you for $20? I guarantee you they're still making money at $20. That means they got a shipload of those things for $3. But I mean, watch this. I mean, there are people that missed the holidays this week to go get something they thought would make their life complete. True? I mean, I saw it at our Best Buy. I passed by, and there was a dome pup tent out in the parking lot. And I thought to myself, poor soul, we have lost our everlasting minds. We are a culture that has lost our minds. But hello, don't be in despair, even though we've lost our minds, because guess what? Emmanuel, God is what? Is with us. Now, this changed everything. And this always changes everything. This brings hope. God speaks into. Now understand this concept. God speaks what? Into. God speaks the world into existence. Isn't it neat? God didn't have to get the Play-Doh out, Angela, Michelle, Kathy. He didn't have to get his creative world set out and put it together. God said it is, and it is. And when God says it will not be, it will what? Not be. That's what makes him God. That's where you and I are totally different from God. What I speak doesn't always exist. How many of y'all found that happen? How many of y'all have said something over and over and over again and it still hadn't happened? You know why? You're not God. But when God speaks it in, it stays. So I want you to say something to your neighbor here just so we'll get this and we'll be awake. He is here. He is here. He is here. Now that's the sound of Christmas, isn't it? He is what? Angels we have heard on. What were they proclaiming? Jesus is what? So basically, Jesus is what? He's here. He's here. The angel said, he's here. See, he was already located with them. Jesus was not a shock to the angels. The angels were not surprised. They had seen him before. Because before anything was, he was. He was with God and he was God. The miracle is this. God took on human form and declared to the world, I'm here. In spite of what you think, in spite of what you can see, in spite of what MSNBC says and Fox News says and CNN says and the latest rappers say, I am here. Even if the world doesn't believe in him, he still comes. How many of y'all are glad to know that God is not asking for our permission to arrive? That's good news. See, some of us think we can run God off. But I want to give you some great news out of Scripture. Now, I want us to focus today. Hope. Did y'all get it today? What's this the advent of? It's a what?
Hope.
I'm going to get those turkey sandwiches loose in you here. We got to start thinking again. Monday's coming, okay? Hope. We ought to be the most hopeful people in the world. Now, here's what I want you to know. Hope is not our word. Hope is not our word. If you haven't figured out by now that we cannot create hope on our own, you have been blind for quite some time. We can't fix the problem. That's why we run around talking about the problem all the time. Why? We can't fix it. How many of y'all have tried to fix your problems? How'd you do? Come on, just tell me, how'd you do? I mean, did you get it fixed? Did you get it solved? By yourself? The hope is God is what? He is present. He is here. He was, he is, and he's coming. Now get those three rhythms. Those are Christmas rhythms. God was in heaven. He is on earth in Jesus Christ. He's ascended unto heaven after the resurrection. And there is a distinct promise that's just as real as the prophecy of the moment of his birth is that he's coming again. He's coming again. So I want you to go to the end of the deal, Matthew chapter 28. Who in the world would preach on Matthew chapter 28 on the first Sunday of hope? Well, the more I looked at this Advent, I said, you know what? This is the greatest words I know in Scripture that have hit my life on more than one occasion. How many of y'all ever just mess up, get lost, get just caught up in the everyday so much you lose focus on God being here? Any of y'all ever done that? You know, I've been so busy at church, I forgot to listen to God. Y'all ever done something like that? Here's something about ministry. I've been so busy in the ministry, I forgot to listen to who created it. How many of y'all been so busy being married, you forgot to be married? So busy raising children, you forgot to be a part of them. So busy trying to celebrate a holiday, you never celebrate it. So I want to encourage you to do something as Christmas comes upon us. Slow down. Slow down. That's a good one. Slow down. Be still. Know that he is God. That's where hope comes from. And guess what? Quit planning to have such a good time. Just have one. Some of y'all organize your good time. It's still boring. Because you organize it. Just let it happen. Quit telling God how it's got to happen. You know how we lose hope a lot of times? We tell God how the world ought to be. I often think of the nightmare if Baptist had organized the birth of Jesus. He wouldn't be here yet. He'd be hung up at committee at what city he was supposed to be in. Then we'd charge 10% for his arrival. And then we'd have a group that believed he was coming on this day, and they would argue, Jeff, with the group that thought he was coming on the other day. And then we'd have your major worshipers and your no room at the end people. We would have messed it up because we would have wanted it to be our way. Hold on, I'm going somewhere. How many of you lose hope because you really believe deep down inside your way's better than God's way? You wouldn't say that blatantly, but deep down inside your actions say, the reason I'm frustrated with God is he won't do it like I do it. How many of y'all you've had moments where you didn't get what you want because it was for your betterment? I've told you all this story before. Every Christmas, I still have flashbacks of a RX 75 Honda motorcycle. I still have them to this day. I saw one on the side of the road the other day. It was an RX Mark 75, just like your daddy got you. You got one. I didn't. I ought to start a campaign against that. That wasn't what? Preached on that last week. Life's not fair. You know why Mark got one? Because he wouldn't kill himself. You know why I didn't get one? I wouldn't be here speaking with you today. Because I'd have tried to jump the house. That was back in Evel Knievel days. I'd be over here seeing if I could jump Lost River River, you know, because Evel Knievel tried the Snake River. I wouldn't be here today. I didn't get something that I thought I really wanted because at that moment of time, it would have been what? Deadly. How many of y'all realize God's not giving you some of the things you think you need because at this time they will not be profitable for your life? You see, sometimes we lose our hope because we get what we want ahead of what God wants to send. We get ahead of God. Now, here's the problem with us getting ahead. We have no idea what the future holds. How many of y'all know what the future holds? Anybody here know what the future holds? If I knew what the future held, I'd be rich because I'd play stock market then. But I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the next day holds. But here's what makes life exciting. I know who will be there. I mean, that's where my hope comes from. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know exactly who's going to be there. That's the hope of Christ to the world. That's the Emmanuel. Now, let me give you this scripture. I'm going to start at the end, then I'm going to back even the scripture up. These words are so wonderful if we would just embrace them. You ready? Jesus says this, and surely I am with you to the very end of the age. And surely I am what? To the very end of the what? I want us to just meditate on that today. You go, well, how come you're not giving us more scripture than that? Because we hadn't learned this yet. How many of us forget that surely I am with you to the end of the age? There's exciting news in here. Here's the exciting news. God will never leave. Michael, God will never leave. Your husband might leave you. Your wife might leave you. You're praying that your kids will leave you. There's things that leave. Your dog, as much as you love your dog, what's that dog going to do one day? I mean, as good as that dog is, he's going to leave you. How many of y'all found your vehicles leave you? And if they don't, they cost you. Your house is going what? How many of y'all have noticed if you don't do anything to your house, it falls down? That beautiful new home that you built will be an old home in 50 years. Just think, what you thought you had hope on, one day somebody like Mark Hale will go to a big antique barn and buy your vintage stuff. How many of y'all realize you can look in the mirror and realize that you too are becoming vintage yourself? And the hope is that the God of yesterday is still here today, and that God secures tomorrow. And until you understand that God is not just in our moment, but he's beyond our moment, you'll lose hope. Here's what I love about God. He's the beginning and the end. God's not scared because he already knows, because he's already been there, and he's bringing us to heaven. Lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the what? How many of y'all can embrace that? Tomorrow, lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. This afternoon, I am still here, says God. In the evening, I'll be there. In the morning, I'll be there. Our soul ought to long and pant, as the psalm says, for the hope of who? God. Well, let me give you some responses. This Christmas, I want to encourage you. How many of y'all would be willing to give the greatest? And so I'm going to ask you to be heralds, not heralds, but heralds. Y'all know what a herald is? Hark the. What do they do? Angels sing. How many of y'all are willing to be an angel? I married an angel. Elizabeth married an angel. Maybe a dark angel, could be a fallen angel, but an angel nonetheless. What is an angel? Let's refer to the Reverend, soon to be, sooner than he thinks, the Reverend Dr. Reynolds. Reynolds, what does the word angel mean in the Greek? Now, we don't need it parsed out in the 50 different ways it was used, but just in essence, what does it mean? Messenger. How many of y'all have such a hope you're willing to be a messenger? You see, here's what I would, this is on my heart. You know what? God would like to release the angels once again. Christmas got a lot of angels in it, doesn't it? I mean, angels fill the whole what? They fill the whole sky. They pronounce the glory of God. They let people know what? They let people know, Matthew 28. Hey, he is here. I think we lose sight of that. He's here. You go to the doctor and you get a bad report. Guess what you ought to hear? He's here. But what do we always hear? We always hear the doctor louder than the one who created us. I mean, I have people all the time. They come, say, Pastor Steve, they told me I only had 6 weeks. I said, who told you? He said, the doctor. I said, they don't know that. If you are a doctor, quit telling people how long they got. You don't know. They didn't teach you that in medical school. And if you're a preacher, quit telling people when God's going to come back, because we don't know that either. But we know he's what? Coming. He's coming. The hope is that God was, he is, and he's what? He's coming. Now, I'm going to encourage you to be a messenger. Guess what? Apparently, this is important to the one who's come to us. Jesus' last words. Jesus' last words here on earth. Reverend Crabtree, these are the last words of Jesus on earth, recorded words that we have on earth. Now, he continues to speak in because he's here, but these are the last ones we have recorded. How many of y'all have ever seen an old Western? How many of y'all seen a new Western? One of my favorite movies is Tombstone. How many of y'all watch Tombstone? Are you a real man or woman if you watch Tombstone? And I love, Merle, you've watched Tombstone, haven't you? It's one of my favorite parts of the movie is when Doc Holliday, because I like Doc Holliday, and Doc's laying there, Freddie, and he's been dying the whole movie. You know what I mean? The boy has been dying the whole movie. You remember this movie, don't you, Elizabeth? The women he's been with trying to kill him. The gamblers are trying to kill him. Johnny Ringo ain't sure about killing him. He kills Johnny Ringo. Now, I don't recommend that. We don't need to be killing people. And he's laying there on his deathbed. And he says, Wyatt, if you ever had a friend, you'll leave now and let me die all by myself. That's sad, isn't it? You know what I wanted to tell Doc? If you only knew, you'd never have to die by yourself. The hope of heaven and the hope of the world and the hope of Christmas is you and I don't have to die by ourselves. Because we got a friend in Jesus that's greater than a friend that becomes a savior, that hark the herald angels sing. You know what they were singing? Humanity, everything changes tonight. Everything changes tonight. In a little town called Bethlehem, everything in humanity changed. A little place, not a big place, not a grand place, not in the big kingdom, not in the Taj Mahal, not with the lights on, but in a manger, in a place of humility, hope enters the world. You say, well, Pastor Steve, up to that point, was there hope? Yes, there was the hope that he would come. For hundreds of years, there was the prophecy that there is one coming that will be greater than anyone has ever seen. Now, you and I get to live on this side of the story. What are we about because he's come? That makes a difference, doesn't it? I got hope because he's here. I just want you to remember that as you go through this Christmas holiday. You know, here comes your in-laws. Now, before you welcome them, remember, he is here. Lo, I am with you, why? When you hear bad news, what? Come on. When you hear bad news, how many of y'all realize in the next 4 weeks, you're going to hear some bad news? How many of y'all going to hear some bad news? If you don't hear bad news, just turn on the news for 5 minutes. And what are they reporting? It's always bad news. Always bad news. And you know what's so funny? They're addicted to bad news. I mean, if they had to share good news, it'd kill them. Can you imagine a news report like this today? Today, I would like to report to you here in America at 5 o'clock this evening that 650,000 planes have landed safely today. That on the majority of flights, we don't have terrorists. God is what? Still here. In fact, every time I fly on a plane, I'm amazed. I'm still like a little kid sometimes. I look at that plane, and I have no idea how it gets up in the air. Now, I've had to study enough physics. I understand mass, weight ratio, and all that kind of stuff. But still, how does something that big float? I'm okay with the mystery. I just know this. You get on, it gets you there a lot faster than the car does. Now, you have to take your clothes off to get on. But other than that, you know. There's finally somebody that figured it out this week. I've told Elizabeth, now I grumble when I go through a flight. I grumble. I'm a grumbler. And if Elizabeth's with me, she prepares me. But I grumble. I told her, I said, next time I'm come to a flight, I'm just going to wear my bathing suit right through here. You got to take off your belt, your shoes, your boots, and all this stuff, and your coat. And I said, Lord have mercy. Well, guess what? This week, somebody just wore their bathing suit. Pretty smart. Now, I really wouldn't want to wear my bathing suit at this stage of life through there. But you know what? You know what we're trying to do? You know what we're trying to do? We're trying to secure ourselves. You know why? I don't think we've heard Jesus' last words. I don't think we've heard Jesus' last words. You see, I'm tired of being terrified because I know the last words. I mean, how many of y'all really believe the last words? Jeff, if a terrorist blows me up, guess what happens? I'm in heaven. I went out with a bang, literally. And I'm what? I'm in heaven. Do you all really have that hope? So here's what terror does. Because you see, terror creates despair. And despair is the attitude of hell. That I can't get there. And when Jesus came to us, Emmanuel, God with us, guess what he says? Oh, yes, you can. Lo, I'm with you always. Let's see what happened for a moment. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. Now, I want to give you just some places for Christmas. If you're going to find hope and you're really going to experience hope and you're going to be a part of hope, you got to go where Jesus tells you to go. You know, Pastor Crabtree, you work with a lot of pastors. You know why a lot of them are upset? They didn't go where Jesus told them to go. They went where they wanted to go. How many of y'all have found when you go where you want to go, there's less hope than you go where he tells you to go? I've gone places in my life that, guess what? I wanted to go there. I wanted to see what was there. And guess what I found out? No Hopeville. How many of y'all have ever gone to No Hopeville? How many of y'all dated No Hopeville? How many of y'all been there where there was just no hope? You know why there was no hope there? You were in the wrong location. Hope is discovered when you get in the right location. Why did the angels, why were they able to proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ? They were in the right location. What about the shepherds? Where were they? Where they were supposed to be? What about those wise seekers, those students, those scientists of the ancient day? They were in the right location, and God communicated to all people the hope of God in Jesus. The hope of God in who? Jesus. Now let's just draw some things here. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him. What we do on Sunday morning is very important. Did you know that worship encourages hope? Worship. Now, let me help you. Worship is more than just singing songs. Worship is praying. Worship is focusing. Worship is being reminded. There's a God on the throne, and he's not leaving. But here's the good news. The God that we worship is not just in heaven. He's where? Here. D, that's what term. God is here in Bowling Green. Have y'all let anybody know? How many of y'all have let some folks know God is here in Bowling Green? Tim Murley, God is in the Warren County schools. Jesus is in the Warren County schools. Dr. Lisa Murley, he's at Western's campus. Here's what I love about God. We can't pass a law to run God out. So tired of hearing people, well, I'll tell you what, we took prayer out of the school. Well, you may have not allowed people to publicly say a prayer, but you sure can't keep people from praying. That's just politician rhetoric. You know what we need in our schools? This would be a good idea. Jim Britt, what if we had some people that were actually living their faith instead of just saying a prescribed prayer? You reckon that might make a difference? See, that's the problem with America. We got a lot of people that can cite the pledge, but very few willing to live it. Life comes through and becomes hopeful when you live out this life. Lo, I'm with you, what? Now, there were only 11 disciples that went to the mountain. Why? One had decided to follow Elvis, and he did it his way. And he was missing at Jesus' declaration because he found his own hope. And here's what he found at the end of his own hope, a noose. Judas. What did Jesus want? What did Judas want? Well, he took silver, but you know what he wanted? He wanted Jesus to do it his way. How dare you, Jesus, submit to the Roman authorities? How dare you, Jesus, be willing to be crucified? How dare you, Jesus? You know why? This is where our hope will always run short. I don't care how brilliant we think we are. Every one of us in this room are nearsighted. How many of y'all are nearsighted? I guarantee you, you're nearsighted. I promise you, you can't see far enough into the future to have eternal hope. We see what we see. We feel what we feel. We know what we've known. But guess what? God says, I am here, Emmanuel, and lo, I'm with you always. Now, I just want to point out some things. Be careful. When they saw him, they what? They worshiped him. You want to build your hope in this Advent season? I'm going to encourage you to be involved in worship. Don't miss an Advent season. Does anybody know what next Sunday is? Peace. You know why we don't start with peace? Because there is no peace unless you have some what? Jesus got to get here before the rest can continue. The Advent is the hope is God is with us. The hope is I know and you know and we believe God is what? But guess what? Whether we believe or not, guess who's still going to be here? Jesus. How many of y'all glad to know Jesus is coming whether we want him to or not? And Jesus is going on whether we want him to or not. Pastor Mark, look here. I know you've never encountered this in the work of the church. And when they saw Jesus, some of them worshiped, and guess what some others did? Doubted. You know what doubt leads to? Despair. How many of y'all have a doubting Thomas in your life? Or a doubting Sally? Or somebody that's always telling you how it can't happen? Come on, anybody live in that world? Anybody? Lord have mercy. My life is filled with people telling me what can't happen. Because I've been in Southern Baptist Convention. As soon as God moves on them, they form a committee to tell God how that can't happen. How many of y'all believe God can? Y'all really believe this story of Jesus, or is this just something made up? What do you think, Susan? You think it's real? So how many of y'all believe that God impregnated a teenager named Mary? She had a baby without having relations. She was a virgin who had a baby. How many of y'all believe that? I do. You know why? Because I believe God can do what he wants to. Now, the sophisticates of the world say, well, I think that that's a metaphor and an allegory of the purity of God. No, it isn't. It's what it said it was. Now, here's what we do. We doubt what we can do. Follow me when I'm telling you that. See, we go, well, we can't do that, so God can't do that. No, God can do what we cannot do. That's the good news of Christmas. God can do what? Anything. And I mean, are you sure? How many of y'all believe God can heal the land of America? How many of y'all believe God's greater than the Democrat and Republican Party? That don't take much faith, does it? How many of y'all believe that God is greater than our scientific discoveries? I love science. I don't know how to do it, but now I love it. You know why? Here's what I love about scientists. Scientists are all wowed. Guess what they're doing? Discovering what God's already made. Discovering what God's already put in motion. That's all it is. Science doesn't avoid God, and science doesn't prove God. Science shows God's a God of a lot of activity, in my opinion. He's just a God of a lot of activity. But the hope is he's always here. Now, some doubted, some worshiped. I'm going to encourage you this Christmas, open the packages of worship unto God. Christmas is all about worship, isn't it? I mean, if we're really going to enjoy this Advent season, we got to be into worship. Because when Jesus shows up, what do people do? And what's the word? They fall down. What do the angels do? Do they worship him? What do the shepherds do? Zeke, Zach, and Bubba out on the hillside. What'd they do? Well, they follow the star and they get down to the manger. And what do? They worshiped him. Now, they didn't bring in gifts. They broke. They're shepherds. They're farmers. Then we have these wise men, these professor types. I mean, the ones that have been studying the movement the history, the stars, all that's out there. And they end up at Jesus' feet, and what do?
Worship him.
And it even says they bow down. You want to find hope? Worship God. You want to find hope that goes beyond what you can see? Worship who? God. And also be about what he's about. Then they came to him. Look what he said. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Don't lose that. All authority in heaven and on what? Who holds the authority? I want to just, how many of y'all glad to know the God that came to us holds all authority? Guess what that means? You and I are going to make it through. How many of y'all glad to be connected with the guy that made it all? The God that put it all together. Hey, when you embrace that, hope will come in your life. Isn't it emerges, doesn't it, Nathan? You don't have to be in despair, do you? You haven't listened to what people told you. That's what I like about you. You're hard-headed. You said, my God is my God, and I'm going to live a full and abundant life, and I'm not going to listen to the whiners of this world. Let me just make it plain. If you want to lose hope, whine. How many of y'all, come on, I want you to get honest. Honest, honest, honest. How many of y'all like whiny people? I mean, how many of y'all got just some friends that whine all the time, and you go out to dinner with them, and when you get ready to go out to dinner with them, you say, man, I'm excited tonight. We're going to go out with Mr. and Ms. So-and-so, and they're going to whine for 2 hours, and we're just excited about this event. Pam, you and Harold got any friends like that? Or it may be Harold whining all the time. He whines a lot himself, huh? How many of y'all whine? I whine. Elizabeth, I whine sometimes, don't I? I wish I could tell you that sometimes I whine. Sometimes I get in a car and I can ride with Elizabeth for an hour and a half and whine for an hour and a half. And you know why I like whining to Elizabeth? She'll listen. If she doesn't like to fight, she'll just go, all right, whatever you think. Now, I really don't want that. I want her to say something counter to what I think so I can prove to her that what I think is correct. Whining takes away from hope, and worshiping brings hope in. And one of the missions we have is to continue the herald. That's the Advent theme this year. Continue the herald. Hark, the herald angels sing. Well, the messengers of God today need to herald the hope. That means we got to speak up, speak out, and speak in. First of all, we got to speak up that there is a God and he's here. And then you know what? We got to start allowing God to speak through us into other people's lives so that they can discover this hope in a real way. And we got to go tell them. There's another good song. I've kind of got songs coming up at Christmas. Go tell it on the what? That's my favorite Christmas song because it was that Christmas song at First Baptist Church Bowling Green that had a little swing into it. It's the only time we ever swung at First Baptist Church. Even the robes would flutter just a little bit. Go tell it on the what? Mountain. We'd even go, amen. Huh? I mean, we actually snapped. The choir was allowed to snap. And I thought, we're getting some rhythm. We're getting some rhythm. God is a God of movement. True? And Lo, I'm with you always. Now, you all know what we're going to do in December, right? Every one of you going to tell somebody about Jesus, right? I must not be communicating. Every one of you going to tell somebody about Jesus, right? Now, to me, that'd be the greatest thing we could do at Christmas. I mean, if you're going to give gifts, why not give the greatest gift? Every one of you would tell me, well, I believe Jesus Christ is the greatest gift ever. Brooks, as much as I hate to bring this up, I'm going to. The Auburn Tigers illustrated, if you got to watch that game against Auburn and Alabama, the Auburn Tigers illustrated hope. At the end of the first quarter, it is 24-0, but into the second. Now, what would most people have done? I guarantee you gamblers all over the United States were on the phone to Vegas changing their as quick as they could. You know what Auburn did? I got to give them credit. They would not believe the present score. And here's where we miss Jesus so much. Instead of worshiping, we doubt. Every time I read that, when they came to Jesus, some worshiped, some doubted. I've done both. What about you? I've come to God and I've worshiped, and I've come to God and I've doubted. I have found I lose hope when I doubt. Well, you know what? The University of Auburn did not doubt. They said, we got a phenomenal quarterback. We've played from behind before. They would not allow the points to dictate their play. It's amazing, Dr. Cox. And guess what happened at the end of the game? They won. By what? Guess what it takes to win a football game? Coach Cox, what does it take to win a football game? One. And guess what that goes down as? Win. It was a beautiful game of life. They didn't what? Now, what would a lot of us done? This is what we do in the world.
Well, it's not fair. Alabama has better players than us. And they've won a national championship. And they should weigh down and let us win a national championship. Because they've already won a national championship. And our mommies and daddies were mean to us. And their mommies and daddies weren't mean to them. They got to have pudding and we didn't. So they should weigh down.
I just want y'all to know that's what we sound like as the United States of America today. When God looks at us and says, oh, my children, he ain't kidding. That's what we sound. You know what Auburn did? They fought on in spite of. I'm looking for a church like that today that will fight on in spite of. Jim Britt, where's that church? It's one I read about in the Bible. The emperor of Rome says to the church, you can't do this. And the church says, God said we can. Those Christians in China and Russia who had to engage with communism, when they said they couldn't worship their God, they said, we're going to worship our God. And they held hope in spite of. And you and I need to live that way. Amen. Tracy, you live that way. When they diagnosed you with cancer, you said bump instead of finality. I'm going to trust my God for a healing. And we're going to win no matter what. Now, to me, this is the gospel. Am I not talking about the gospel? I'm fixing to close. Is this not the gospel? If we have this much hope, here's what I cannot understand as your pastor. I don't understand why we don't tell people about it. Except I've come to this conclusion. It's hard to share what you don't have. It's hard to share what you don't have. If you have hope, you'll share hope. If you really don't have hope, you'll always share doubt. I'm hopeful we're all going to be in heaven. Why? Because Jesus said we're going to be. That's the hope. And he tells us to go do something. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Who owns the authority? Jesus. Check with him. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. What does it mean to make disciples? Tell people to follow. Follow me, Jesus says. This is important at Hillview Heights Church, and I hope we see more of them than we've ever seen in December, ever in the history of this church. We're going to be that bold about it. Eddie, we'll get you up in the baptistry. I know you got some new hips, but we'll work you up there, all right? If we got to crane you up there and get you in with a buddy, we'll make it happen. Look at here. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. Jesus' last words included baptism. Bible study is important, but they didn't include Bible study. Fellowship is important, but it didn't include fellowship. It said baptizing them in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit. You know, he said baptize them into the connection of hope. His name is Jesus. Amen? It's what it's about. Teaching them. And teaching them to do what? To obey everything I've commanded you. Teaching them. How many of y'all are teaching them? Yeah, you are every day. Every Sunday that you come to worship, guess what you're teaching your children if you have children? This is what? Important. Clancy, do you know Sunday morning worship's important? Why? Your mother told you, right? What's this? We've never one time told our children it's important to be in church on Sunday morning. They have lived being at church on Sunday morning. They know where that stands. And so here's where hope comes from. Talk less and worship more. Don't doubt where God will take your life. And don't doubt what God will do. Because here's the greatest news I know. And lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Angela, I do not see an exception clause in that statement, do you? Jesus doesn't say, lo, I am with you always except when. It doesn't say that, does it? It just says, lo, I'm with you what? Always. So here's the good news. No matter where you are as a believer in Jesus Christ, God is there with you. Continue on. So, guess what? It unfolds. It starts unfolding. So, you herald angels, messengers of God, declare hope this week. Make sense? How many of y'all can declare hope? Just declare it. Now, you don't need to wear a sign, and really, please don't go out on the street with a double sign saying, he's coming soon, get some hope. Okay, I really want to state this to you. God does not require you to be an obnoxious angel. Just an angel. In fact, most of the angels, they just kind of showed up and said, oh, by the way, Mary, God has found favor with you. You'll be given a child. You're to name him Jesus. He's the Savior of the world. Bleep. She's like, oh, yeah, I got that. I'm going to be the mother of the salvation of the world. Oh, wow, what a day. A little overwhelming. What's God ask you to be? He's asked you to be in worship. He's asked you to be taught by his Holy Spirit. He's asked you to be in relationship with other believers. He's asked you to do what? He's asked you to use your gifts, talents, abilities, and resources to herald this message. And here's the message. Jesus is here. And today, if you're here and you don't have Jesus in your life, I want you to know he is here. What's he saying? Come to me. You want to find some hope? Well, first of all, you got to get rid of your sin. How many of y'all found sin blocks hope? How many of y'all look at your sin all the time? How many of you, I ask you, what have you done wrong this week? You could give me a list. Well, I didn't do this and this and this and this and this and this. What if I ask you this question? How have you worshiped this week and your life being used to glorify God. I guarantee you, everybody's got some of that. But you know what? You don't see it because you'd rather look at what you're doing wrong than what God's doing right in your life. We tend to do that. We get some help from the evil one. So look at what is right. Here's what is right. God has come and God will save you. Today, there's some people in this room for the first time that are going to say, Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Forgive me of my sin. I want the hope of the world. I want the hope of the world in me. Here's how you connect to Jesus. Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe you to be a savior. I know that you're the hope of the world. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you've risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my what? Life. Try that on and see what happens. By the way, these were Jesus' last words. So the greatest message I can start Christmas with is this. Be forgiven by God and let the hope of the world be in you. Emmanuel. After the resurrection, it goes one step further. Not just God with us, but Mark, God in us through Jesus Christ, who is there always. Stand with me. Lord Jesus, as we come to this time of decision, may we decide to allow the hope of the world to be released from us. So Lord, I just pray right now as we come to this altar that the Holy Spirit would move in such a tremendous way that we would be made different. Amen. Lord, let us not be trapped in this holiday, but let us worship Jesus every day. And so God, I pray that you bring your church forward into the world, that we would have hope. We would be people who worship, people who believe, people who encourage, people who are faithful. We would not step away, but we would step through this world declaring the hope that Jesus brings. If you've never invited Jesus Christ into your life, pray. Just this prayer will get you started. Lord Jesus, today I believe you're the Son of God. I have sinned, Lord Jesus, and I want to be forgiven. Jesus, forgive me of my sin. If you've done that, we want to talk to you. We want to celebrate with you. If you've never been baptized, listen, this Christmas, let's get that taken care of. Here's the greatest gift. I mean, this is one way to worship God. Why not do what he asked you to do? There's a radical idea. Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the what? Holy Spirit. How many of y'all need to get that baptism done? You know Jesus is in your life, take that next step of obedience. God, I want to be baptized. We've got several people doing that today. So this altar is open as you come and pray. I pray that you've received Christ. I pray that you've been baptized. I pray that you'll declare hope. Let's be good prayer. Lord, this week at the advent of hope, let me be a little bit to somebody. Let me be an instrument of your hope. Amen. Let's come and let's pray this worship and we'll close this service out.